Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
Yes, and well, before we start, I would like to say something, and it's a good thing. I would thank everybody, the priests, and people who reached out after a little Facebook fiasco on... when did we post it? I don't remember anymore. Well, but for about the last episode, and...
Which was blocked by Facebook.
Yes.
Or
removed.
Something was, like, not allowing it to be posted.
Yeah,
so.
Somebody reported it from my friends, and, well, it's whatever, but I just want to thank you, and that I appreciate the support and the phone calls and texts that I received, so...
It's not a big deal.
It's much more encouraging when, you know, there is somebody behind you.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
Anyways, let's keep going. Another apology. I turn on the dishwasher again, so enjoy our dishwasher sounds throughout the podcast. If you like it, well, I'm happy. If not, well, too bad. All right,
we're on page 39, in the middle of the page.
Second paragraph.
Okay. Behind this visible protection, there is an invisible one, the guardian angel placed by the Lord to protect the child from the very minute of his baptism. He watches over him and by his presence invisibly influences him, and when necessary, inspires the parents to know what they should for a child who is in danger. Sorry, do you want me to read that again?
No.
Okay.
No.
But all these strong protections and these powerful and active inspirations can be dissolved and made fruitless by unbelief, carelessness, impiety, and the bad life of the parents. This is because the means mentioned here are either not used or are not used in the proper way. Here, the inward influence of the parents on the child is especially important. It is true that the Lord is merciful to the innocent, but there is a tie which we cannot understand between the souls of the parents and the soul of the child, and we cannot define the extent of the influence of the former on the latter. At the same time, when the parents exert a bad influence, to some extent, the mercy and condescension of God are still given to the child. Condescension. Sorry, not condensation. Oh boy, not a reader. I'm going to reread that sentence. At the same time, when the parents exert a bad influence, to some extent, the mercy and condescension of God are still given to the child. But it sometimes happens that this divine aid ceases, and then the causes which have been prepared bring forth their fruit. Therefore, the spirit of faith and piety of the parents should be regarded as the most powerful means for the preservation, upbringing, and strengthening of the life of grace in children. Oh, well, okay. My most favorite part. I shouldn't say that. One of my most favorite parts of a baptism is that moment where the priest says, you know, give them a guardian angel that will watch over them or can, you know, be with them for the rest of their life or something. Every time I'm like, at this exact moment, there is a guardian angel assigned to this baby.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Don't make you cry.
things are happening that we can't see,
yeah.
You know, and like that is just amazing, you know. And I think that so many times we don't pay attention to our guardian angel and we don't thank them and apologize to them for being complete idiots sometimes, and thank them for doing exactly this, inspiring parents to know what they should do for a child who's in danger. How many times has that happened to us, probably? And we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
We just think it's coincidence. Mm-hmm. But thank God for these invisible forces that help us.
Yeah, nothing is coincidence.
Yeah,
they're beautiful protectors. I think one of the best things, and I'm happy you brought up baptism, is to really look, especially for parents, to look, or if there is baptism in the church to really pay attention to the prayers. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many sentences that should really pierce your heart and kind of wake you up that, well, oh my, this is actually not just some kind of a celebration to that this child will be baptized, but a huge, huge responsibility is being placed on the child and on the parents. Mm-hmm. to live really this strict, ascetical life that leads to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, this is the whole book. It's not surprising that Saint Theophan is starting to touch on this aspect too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no. Hear a baby crying in the background here. Well, since do you have much more to say?
Go ahead.
In our publican prayer book, there are morning and evening prayers, and for both in the morning and in the evening prayers, there are two different prayers for our guardian angel. And I thought that this would be an opportunity to read those. And I know that this is a discussion about guardian angels and our children, but also it could be a really good chance for, I mean, it's always good to remember what we've forgotten and how they protect us at all times. So this is from the morning prayers. Prayer to your guardian angel. O holy angel, interceding for my wretched soul and passionate life, forsake me not a sinner, nor shrink from me for my intemperance. Give no place for the subtle demon to master me through the violence of my mortal body. Strengthen my poor and feeble hand, and guide me in the way of salvation. O holy angel of God, guardian and protector of my wretched body and soul, forgive me for all of the insults I have given you every day of my life, and for whatever sins I may have committed during the past night. Protect me during the present day, and guard me from every temptation of the enemy, that I may not anger God by any sin. And pray to the Lord for me, that he may strengthen me in his fear, and make me his slave, worthy of his goodness. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
That's right after you wake up, you say that.
I know. And, you know, I'm sure that for me, whenever I think about my guardian angel, I'm thinking of that picture of an angel hanging its head in its hand and, like, being disappointed at me at all times.
Not again.
Okay, that's what I envision as my guardian angel. But I don't envision my guardian angel being all of these things. You know, guardian and protector of my wretched body and soul, forgive me for all the insults I have given you every day of my life. Like, we are insulting to them if we're doing dangerous things or if we aren't paying attention to kind of their providence in our life, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember maybe it was 3 months into being in this parish, I had a homily about, like, guardian angel being actually leaving us.
Yeah.
Because of our sinfulness.
Stench.
Because of our stench, yes. Do you remember? Wow. because of our stench. Well, he doesn't leave, but he's kind of keeping distance.
Yeah.
You know, so he's still protecting us in a certain ways, but he can't be there to protect the thoughts and
mm-hmm.
and
influence us and
influence,
yeah,
that can quickly fall on us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to really give thanks not just to God and Theotokos, saints, but also
mm-hmm.
guardian angel. And I think evening prayers, if I remember well, we are giving him thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here's the evening prayer. Prayer to the guardian angel of one's life. O angel of Christ, my holy guardian and protector of my soul and body, forgive me all my sins today. Deliver me from all the wiles of the enemy, that I may not anger God by any sin. Pray for me, sinful and unworthy servant, that you may present me worthy of the kindness and mercy of the all-holy Trinity and the Mother of my Lord Jesus Christ and of all the saints. Amen. Beautiful.
Yeah. What I love about the publican prayer book is that you can see this drastic movement of feelings, I should say, like when you go to bed, there the prayers are more softer. They're preparing you for not just for basically for death, but it's not like, you know, like hard, it's gonna hit you like a train, but rather like, well, mm-hmm. give thanks, be calm.
Yeah.
You are in their hands.
Right.
You know, and then in the morning it's more
like,
you know,
make get up, me ready for this day. Yeah, sorry if I was an idiot, yeah.
Time to fight.
Right, exactly. Yep. And make me worthy of the kindness and mercy. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, so little reminder to remember your guardian angel.
Sure. And actually you brought this, I just thought of this, that maybe it is time for us to include these evening prayers when we pray with our kids.
Yeah.
Because I think both of our kids have, and again, put an icon of guardian angel
mm-hmm.
in next to their crib or next to their
bed.
So he's there and
mm-hmm.
they venerate the icon.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time for us to
good idea.
Memorize another prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like this next paragraph is kind of what we've been talking about for the last podcast or two.
And the last paragraph is actually introduction. As Saint Theophan likes to do, he does the last paragraph as an introduction for next topic, which is the influence of the parents upon the child.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the influence here. He's starting to talk about that what we, as you heard, what we, how we act at home, what we do, everything influences the behavior of a child.
Yeah.
And even Sarah always reminds me with Mira that he's rough.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, I rough house. With him, you know, like we play hard and we throw stuff around, but like that's his now the demeanor. So even now I pay attention to how I play with him. So it's so he's more gentle human being.
I mean, he's a boy, but yeah.
And terrible twos.
Yeah.
Too. So like it's a mixture of all, but you're right. I mean, if we are being formed by the saints, especially now Saint Theophan, well, it is important to really look at ourselves and see what we do throughout the day that our children see,
mm-hmm.
and how we act, and really if we really are behaving Christian like throughout the day, or are we just Christians when we pray in the morning and evening and when mm-hmm. we go to church? So
right. that but also the state of our soul.
Absolutely.
And so like I know when the state of my soul is not where it should be.
Yeah.
And for sure that affects our children.
Sure.
And so it's
no, but it's interesting because both you and I know, like you can tell when like I need to go to confession.
Yeah.
Like you need to go to confession, and when I go, it changes. And well, our confessions are very frequent,
mm-hmm.
but when the frequency ceases because we are sick or something, and there is this week or 2 weeks that are missing, that's when you can tell that everything is kind of
off on edge
all the time.
No, one note that I had here, it says at the same time when the parents exert a bad influence to some extent, the mercy and condescension of God are still given to the child. Sometimes it happens that this divine aid ceases, and then the causes which have been prepared bring forth their fruit. Let me see. Therefore, the spirit and piety of the parent should be regarded as the most powerful means for the preservation, upbringing, and strengthening of the life of grace in children. And my note on that, on those couple of sentences was, and it's something that I'm learning and still trying to do, is the importance of spiritual reading and or spiritual listening throughout the day. Because it's helping me, and that could be listening to Father Miron's Senior's book studies, Father David Abernathy's book studies,
Deacon Ed's book studies,
any kind of spiritual reading or spiritual discussion, even if it's done and you're listening to it audibly, or if you are able to sit down and read and actually have some contemplation in that spiritual reading. I don't have time for that right now. This is literally the only reading that I'm doing right now, except for spiritual listening.
Right. Okay? Which counts as the same.
It does. But that's what I'm saying. Like, being able to refocus and even just hearing an hour's length of discussion on something God-focused it helps me to recenter myself throughout the day to what's important.
Sure.
And I for sure notice days that I do that and then days that I don't do that.
I think I do too, because usually I treat my priesthood as kind of like a job from 9 to 5:30 or whatever.
Right, yeah.
It is a job, but like, so...
But he goes to work.
I go to work. So Miron sees that dad is working rather than just walking around and...
Sure.
Being...
Reading a book on the couch or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that when sometimes I come down and you're listening to one of the podcasts, the kids are much calmer. They're not as it's not like a crazy house as if you're not listening to
it's
something.
It's probably because I'm calmer, because I'm not
causing
the crazy house. No,
you're not hollering.
No, I know what you mean.
But at the same time, also, we have to pay attention to how much of crap we are putting into our bodies. Mm-hmm. Via music,
uh-huh,
and listening to podcasts that are literally just useless.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much are we putting ourselves into like this Christian literature,
mm-hmm,
and listening to these very good priests and deacons
and saints
to describe the word that is written there?
Right.
It's powerful.
And I would not count this as that. Our podcast,
yeah,
is not that. And
our podcast is something that you sit on a couch, crack open a beer, and you listen.
Yeah.
Or wine.
Well, and that's what we do too, because I'm drinking wine right now as we speak.
And I have orange juice.
Yeah. But this would be just a discussion that we have on a day-to-day basis if I'm reading something or he's reading something and we find it interesting.
It is. A sad thing that a lot of discussions happen in our kitchen,
mm-hmm,
and while I'm probably doing dishes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now since we have dishwasher, which always worked, the discussions a little bit lessened, but they are more frequent throughout the whole day now.
Yeah.
But you can't just pull out a recorder like, hey, let's record this,
right?
Because it doesn't. It would not have the same.
Yeah, that's okay. Effect.
Or something. Well, anyways, I mean, there is not much to say. There's not much to say because, and I don't want to say more because really we are going to talk about the influence of the parents upon the child. So, I feel like it would be, well, jumping the gun,
mm-hmm,
a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop.
Good.
Yeah, because we have a big section for that.
Yes, we do. All right. Well, God bless you guys. See you in the next one.